I'm Leonard Nimoy. Join me for In Search of
An Artemis.
This is Jim Gentile welcoming you to the Beth Shannon Show. Actually, it's In Search of an Argument, and Beth is here along with John Peggy Shelley. But today is really a Beth episode, which I'll turn it over to her shortly. But in the interim, we found out a few things since the last time we talked. One thing we found out is that Beth Shannon has never told anyone that she's doing a podcast.
True.
And in fact, like Peggy, she has never actually listened to an episode of the podcast. So now, among the hosts of this podcast, there is a narrow 3-2 majority of people who actually listen to the podcast.
Or have listened.
Or, yeah, I guess, have listened. I should mention to John, since he's always concerned about the number of our listeners, that if 1/10 of the Beth Shannon collection were to actually start listening to the podcast, it would vastly increase our listening audience.
The raw numbers.
So you really have to get Beth to drum up some interest in the podcast. If Beth had listened to the podcast, like some of our people do, one of our faithful listeners actually asked me to tell some more New York stories. So I have two. I wanted to mention that since the last time we talked, I had two unexpected visitors.
Okay.
So, a few weeks ago, I was sitting at the table having my lunch, and Mr. Mouse pops up from one of the burners on the stove, waves hello, goes back down in the burner. My immediate thought was I should turn on all the burners and the stove to see if I can kill the mouse that way.
Oh my God.
I don't know that would have worked, but then I thought, even if it did work, that might not be the kind of problem I want to have to deal with, which is fried mice. So I did the right thing and just called the landlord, and the guy came and put out some more traps. The other thing happened while I was visiting the District of Columbia last month, or the District of Columbia area, I should say.
Home.
So both of my children who live in the New York City area have keys to my apartment for two reasons. One, for the inevitable time when the paramedics come, they don't have to break down the door. And the other is the inevitable time when I next lose my keys, which I'm sure Beth thinks will happen within the next 2 weeks, probably. But
correct.
But while I was in D.C., my son Will came over and liberated some of my toilet paper from the bathroom.
Nice.
And I mean, I am closer to him than the Walgreens or the CVS, so I guess I can understand that, you know.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
So those are my two unexpected visitors, life in New York. I also have to give a Virgin River update, which is I've now completed 4 full seasons of Virgin River. I made it through season 3 without Annette O'Toole, who apparently took it off because of COVID at the time. And so that was literally a hopeless season. And,
I got
through season 4, even though midway through season 4 is the Renaissance Fair episode. And that stopped me for a while, I have to say. It's hard to get past that.
Oh, my gosh. Can I talk about the Renaissance Fair episode when you're done?
I understand. You can. I just want to mention that season 4 is very important because the main female character, Mel, is dealing with one of these very true-to-life dramas, which is, who is she pregnant by? The hot dead guy or the hot guy with PTSD / alcoholism? You know, nobody's perfect, right? One of them's dead. One of them's got other problems. And speaking of Jack, who is the main male character who has many, many, many problems, one of them seems to be a lack of basic information about reliable forms of birth control. Perhaps we need to send some pamphlets up there, or maybe Peggy should introduce him to one of her favorite people, Condom Boy. But that's my Virgin Ridgeway update.
All right, Peggy.
You know, okay. We'll see. Go ahead, Peg.
So we watched this show with another couple. It's like we look so forward to it. And so
live or virtually?
Virtually. No, together. They come over.
They come over.
Yeah. So for the season
premiere. Do you have
premiere,
popcorn while you're doing it?
Yeah, we usually have food. So for the season premiere of episode 5, and I only know that because you just told me that the Renaissance
season five,
Fair.
You mean, season
was,
5.
Yes, season 5 was in season 4. I had that. We invited them over, and when they came to the door, I was wearing my Guinevere costume.
Oh, no, you weren't.
And I made a mead cocktail all in celebration of the Renaissance Fair episode.
Excellent. You're awesome. I love
that.
Yeah,
they died. Carrie almost wet his pants in the driveway when I opened the door. So we really get into some Virgin River over here.
My mother told me to tell you all that it's a soap opera.
It is a soap
opera.
It
totally is. Yes. Totally.
And now I hear that Sullivan's Crossing is right there with it. Did we already discuss
Sullivan's
that?
Crossing is a CW show.
So that episode with Mel being pregnant mysteriously with whoever's baby. So she goes to L.A.
That's happened to everybody, right? That happens all the time, right?
She goes to L.A. for one weekend and she comes back pregnant. Like, IVF doesn't work that way, by the way. You don't just go.
I'm not sure the way they do it on that show, sex works that way.
Is that the only piece of Virgin River that was like, that doesn't work?
Yeah.
That
is
way.
That the really the big inaccuracy there that you wanted to put? And also, as Peggy has alluded to, the entire first seasons apparently occupied in Virgin River time 5 months.
Yes.
For four seasons.
Yeah. Oh, it's crazy.
Which
Absolutely crazy.
Insanity, really.
Charmaine.
It's Trump
Charmaine
time.
Charmaine has
it's
been
like 5 months
for
of
17
Trump
years.
Time. Yes.
Well,
crazy.
5 months apparently, but 42 episodes, but only 5 months.
They do a lot in 5 months.
They have a lot.
Have you had
They have a lot of whatever.
Yeah, where they're doing the whole lumberjack theme thing.
I don't think I've
They have the amazing festivals in that town.
Yes, they do.
And apparently every 2 months or so because, you know.
Giant budget.
Well, we would love to talk about Virgin River more when we do our spin-off All Virgin River podcast series. But for now, Beth is going to lead the discussion. And it's a very good discussion for Beth because it's about things that irritate us. And Beth could do an entire podcast series about things that irritate her just about me alone.
Wait, so can we lay the groundwork?
Yes.
Nobody can say Virgin River when they talk about things that irritate
them. Okay.
Because that's obvious.
Right. Okay. Fair enough. All right, Beth. Go ahead and be irritated.
Recently, the Guardian newspaper did reach out to their readers saying, give us a list of things that annoy you. We want to hear from you. We can't control the bigger picture right now, but we know there's little things day to day that annoy you. What are they? And they gave a few examples, like you go to put the food away and you can't find the lid to the Tupperware, which is annoying. Trying to get the skin off the garlic. I even have some fancy silicone tube thing I'm supposed to use to help make the skin come off the garlic. I never remember that.
I don't get that one. I really don't. I don't see why that is so complicated, but whatever.
Me too.
Then your glass is steaming up. This happens to me all the time. I go for a hike with the dog. I get in the car. All of a sudden, my glasses are foggy. I am trying to find some cloth that's not going to scratch them. So again, like little, you know, everyday annoyances. I survive. Because I live alone, all my Tupperware has lids. It's mostly when I go to someone else's house that I encounter this problem. But it got us thinking about...
Or if you let someone in your house and in your kitchen and they tamper with the system.
Oh, no, no. The people in my kitchen know. Believe me. They know how you load a dishwasher. They know you unload the dishwasher, bottom rack first. No, there are rules for Beth's kitchen. So, yeah, that's not
what aspect of Beth's life doesn't have rules. Maybe we should talk about that because that would be a much shorter list.
What happens if they unload it from the top?
Oh, my God.
Well, the problem is
because they're helping you unload it.
The water pools on the top of your glasses and mugs. So if you unload the top, the water then drips down onto your clean dishes below. So if you start with the bottom, it doesn't matter. It's just common sense.
Did I mention that Beth is a facilities manager and she, you know, is very big about those, the proper technique for doing
that. So, all right. So back to today's subject. Even in our text thread, getting started on this, Peggy thought we were talking about genes. I'm not sure why Peggy thought we were talking about genes, but
as in
that led
genetics
to...
or as in blue?
Because it's a coming up topic, I think. We talked about it.
Pants, the plants. Oh, okay. Yeah. So that led to the observation that women's genes don't really have proper pockets. Men's genes, you could stick your wallet in, your phone. In women's genes, you might only be able to put a quarter in it. It's annoying. Why is that? I'm sure there's reasons, but
I can
just
the answer to that question. I got a
well,
mouthful
Jim actually
jeans.
My niece told me the answer to that question. Go
okay.
ahead.
No, but didn't you read a book about pockets?
I did read a book about pockets, but my niece told me the answer to the specific question about why men have much bigger pockets, because they have to carry okay, around the patriarchy.
So you read an entire book
about the history of pockets and pockets and the usefulness of pockets and how they originate.
I need the name
really
of that
interesting
book.
By the way
I need the name of that book, please.
I believe it's called Pockets, but I'll check.
That's bad.
I'll double check that.
It's called Neckties is the name of the book about
yes
pockets.
It's called Why Men Have Bigger Ones Than Women.
I can pile on with the jeans complaints. Jeans don't last as much as they used to. And I'm not even, I think we're not supposed to be wearing them anymore because it makes you a boomer, even though I'm a Gen Xer. And I think that all
you
the jeans
worry
that
about
I see,
such things that are
and
just
luckily,
so ridiculous.
Luckily, now that we're not going to get any of our clothing from anywhere outside of the U.S., they're all going to be much higher quality and last longer and be more durable. They
sure.
Won't be the,
absolutely.
Right. So.
Like McDonald's food.
So the other reason this subject interested me is for 25 plus years, I've had a running list with a couple friends of what I would do if I were king of the world. And we recognize that in the patriarchy, I'd have to be a king, not a queen. So my list is what if I were king of the world. And it had quaint things like there should be a lane in the shopping, in the grocery store for people who write checks. They all go, they're with their kind, they never pull out the checkbook until everything's down at the end. And then they have to also put the balance in and balance it out and put it back and then find their coupon. Well, I don't even know if you can write a check in a supermarket anymore. So that's kind of on my like showing my age list.
The best thing that you just said was they're with their kind.
Yes. So they can all just be together.
Yeah, co-mingle.
So that's how this, I've had this running list of things would be much different if I were in charge, which Jim has also referred to several times that I like things a certain way.
Really?
But I
didn't notice that. By the way, the name of the book is Pockets by Hannah Carlson. So
okay. Thank you.
So I was curious if my podcast mates had running lists of things that annoy them. And I won't start with Jim. I'll
list
start.
That stand still, even that annoy them. But go ahead.
All right, eye roll for those of you who didn't hear it. Shelley, what's on your list? Do you have things that are just running? They annoy you. Do you have things? And you mentioned earlier too. Do you have a solution? Because there are some, like I said, the checkout line, you just put them all together and then it's their problem.
Right.
There's others that are thornier problems and there might not be a solution we want to have recorded and posted on the internet.
You mean like your death ray that you would use to kill people that irritate you?
It's the vaporizer gun for bad drivers.
Sorry. See, I just annoyed her.
She's talking to me. So I don't know that I have a running list like you do, but I do have some things that are recurring issues. So the one idea that I've long had and still holds true is there should be a special group of drivers who have the ability to have something that's built into the hood of their car, like under the engine. And when they're driving and they have an asshole in front of them who is not either – who's in the slow lane too long and just parked there for miles and miles on the highway, or they cut you off, like you can hit this button and like this go-go gadget plow comes out and pushes them out of the road. and they're eliminated. So they're not injured. They're not hurt. They're just out of your way. And maybe it's a wake up call that you're being a dick.
So that is way nicer than my solution.
Yes. Yeah. Okay.
That's been a long held irritating one. So I don't have a solution for that, but I'm waiting
for the point is bad driving irritates you.
It does. I have more patience now, I believe, but when it happened.
For those of you who are not watching on News Channel 8, Peggy gave a vigorous shake of her head to that last
point. As did John.
So I would argue that I have more patience now, but when it does happen, it sets me off faster and higher and harder than it ever did when I was
younger.
Because
you're holding it in.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
So when it does come out, it's just worse.
Probably. And
maybe
you
shouldn't hold it in, Shelley.
Living in Chicago for years, you were used to more drivers being jerks. In Indiana, they're just clueless to their surroundings. And they're fewer drivers. So
if they weren't clueless, they wouldn't live in Indiana, right?
I think it's the concentration of, I don't know. So I don't know what the answer for that one. My other one is where I have the solution. So I read all these bunch of.
Is this the cow catcher, like pull people off the road type of solution, or is it a real solution?
No, this is a real solution.
Oh, okay.
So it has nothing to do with driving. So I read a lot of efficiency and productivity books, mostly for work, but I always think about how they can be used in my real life. And one example that I implemented right away was I walk the dog frequently. Mm-hmm. And I would always have to dig around in my purse to find my keys. Whereas, I always keep my purse in the same place, but the keys are always in a bag that's the size of this table. And so I have to dig down to the bottom. It's just this additional time, whatever.
Yep.
So I had an extra key made. It's on its own little keychain, and it's by the door where the dog's leash is. And that's the key I only use to take the dog out. Yeah. That was the problem I was having. I couldn't figure it out. I was so irritated. I was so angry. And then I solved it.
Nice. It's good. Jim's going to do a Jim's doing a visual aid. Jim, for those of you not watching, Jim just got a visual aid.
See, this is how I carry my keys now.
Yes.
I just all carry them on a chain around my neck. Figuring that will decrease, although not eliminate, the probability of me losing them at some point. But
that's a lot of keys, Jim.
That's a lot of keys, Jim.
Not that many keys.
Kill your neck over time.
Yeah, your back. You need
them.
That's it. That's what's killing my back is the seven keys I carry around my neck.
Well,
yes,
it's also like kind of like a cowbell.
It's the patriarchy. It's carrying the patriarchy that's really killing my back, but that's another story.
You're not going to be able to sneak up on those mice when you're
Is that the keys to be able to sneak up on the mice? Is that they don't seem to be at all concerned that I'm here?
Not afraid of you.
No, they are not. Like they come out, they look at me, they wave. Hey, how's it going? What's for lunch today? But
my last big one that I know there are a variety of different things for this, but it hasn't worked. So I'm in this stage in my life where I sometimes need glasses and sometimes don't. Mm-hmm. And it varies. I thought it was consistent. And now it's sometimes I need, it's always in the dark or when I'm driving I do need them, but this on again, off again, on my head, on my shirt, dropping it on the plane when I'm done taking down my luggage, just drives me effing batty. And I have plenty of glasses around the house. But looking at a chain around my neck looks like I'm 94 years old. But then I was just with
If you need glasses, you have a chain around your neck, Shelley, unless you're wearing them all the time.
I was just with Ian's daughter-in-law in the UK for this wedding, and she had the same problem, but she had this adorable little pearl chain that attached to her glasses, but it looked perfectly normal on her for some reason. On me, it looks like a dog collar. So, yeah.
I 100% agree. And I even bought a bejeweled little thing so I wouldn't look like an old lady. And yeah, still, it's like, no, that's not the look. So I carry two eyeglass cases. I am constantly having them fling off my head when I like go down to tie my shoes to take the dog out or something. So 100% agree with you.
Yeah.
So I have that. John?
John.
So I had a, I worked with this guy who was a couple years older than me, and he
impossible to believe.
Refused to do what I've done, which is I've just gotten glasses now, right? So I almost, except for when I'm on the show, I wear bifocals all the time where the top is just glass and the bottom is for reading. And they work great. I honestly don't care that much. I mean, I don't exercise that much, so it doesn't really like, I don't get sweaty. So it's not that big of a deal. But he did the LASIK thing with one eye, monovision, where one eye is for reading and one eye is for distance. And he said after about a week, he goes, he doesn't notice it and his eyes are fine. And he can do anything now full time. Like, it doesn't bother him anymore. Your brain gets used to it. Did any of you guys consider doing that?
So I had LASIK done years ago.
Well, no, I did LASIK for distance years ago, too. Okay. My eyes are fine for distance. But this is a new thing, right? This is the monovision where one eye is for reading and one eye is for distance. But your brain, after a few weeks, turns off that one eye is out of focus when you're looking far and one eye is out of focus when you're looking close. And you just learn to accept it.
Maybe I should consider it if this puts me over the edge anymore. But yeah, I have it not.
No, have any of you looked considered it? Because we're all wearing those.
Well, when I had my cataract surgery, the doctor did offer me the option of only having it on one eye.
Right.
And therefore, I would essentially be in that same position. I would have.
And you said no.
Nearsighted. I said no.
That freaks me out. It freaks me out. I'm not going to lie.
What part of it freaks you out?
What if your brain didn't get used to it?
It's possible. Not everybody's brain adjust to these things.
You can do it again, right? They can do it again.
In my case, they could have then gone and done the second surgery.
Right.
Could have done that.
Right.
I'd like to know.
I mean, there was a period of time where it had only the one surgery. So
how many people don't adjust? I would like to know that number. If it's like less than 1%, then I would be like, yeah, go ahead.
What they do is because I went down the path of it. They let you try it out by giving you a contact lens. That's for, like, I can see fine far. So they give you one contact lens for reading, and you put it in and you try it for a couple of weeks. And they're like, if you get used to it, great. And if not, then you're probably not suited for it.
Okay, that makes sense. Yeah.
And I did not like it. I was annoyed beyond belief constantly.
So
and
he's like,
you didn't give
it
enough time.
Yeah, you already tried it out.
Yeah. Just that the contact lens thing. But it is annoying. The glasses thing is annoying in a way. They're fashionable and I kind of like it. It's fun, but they're freaking expensive. Glasses are crazy expensive unless you buy. Because I did the cheater thing at Costco where I had like a million sets of cheaters. Like every coat pocket had a cheater. The bed, next to the couch, everywhere were cheaters in the kitchen. And it just, that became chaos. I mean, it was just chaos. And I never had them when I needed them. So this is the only solution I found.
I do that too. I bought that Costco pack and then I keep one in the kitchen, one here. But so for women, I don't know if anybody else has this problem. Those cheap ones, if I put it up on my head, it always gets hair and pulls my hair.
Yeah.
Real glasses don't do that for whatever reason. So I agree with this one. I didn't think of it as an annoyance, but mine, like Beth said, it's always falling anytime I bend over. I disagree. Those are called birdies, those chain around your neck.
Okay.
And I also bought a bejeweled one and I thought it was adorable, but it didn't hold on to it. They kept coming out.
Yeah. Oh.
And then the problem is you forget they're there. And so if you hug somebody, crush your glasses.
There are different versions of the things you can wear. I had to experiment to find. I have, these are my prescription. And I also have a pair that I just bought at the drugstore as a backup. And I have to have a different type, different style of chain for each because it's a different one that works for each one.
So because you can get glasses, you know, whatever, every 2 years or whatever your plan is. So these are really old and I just keep these frames and they have prescription lenses in them and they sit at my desk here. And then I have ones that I carry in my purse and then I have, and they're all prescription because mm-hmm. they're old frames. So you put the new lens in the old frame and then get another new pair. So now I have like 5 pair of prescription. But my problem is like this computer is – I kind of need these. Like your guys are a little bit blurry. But it's good for a laptop. But this big screen, I don't quite need it. So I always wish I just needed them all the time.
If you were reading the chat, it'd be easier, though.
Yeah.
Right?
And then people who've worn glasses, like my brother, since he's been 8 years old, says, shut up, bitch. You know, like, no, you don't want to have to wear glasses.
Oh, there goes our E. We have an E on the episode.
Sorry.
Nuts. That's okay.
So yeah, the glasses thing. Good one, Shelly. I have to cut of that.
As long as we have an E.
There we go. Now my kids can't listen.
I held myself back because I wanted to use that word many times when I was talking about the drivers.
You should use that word. Use it, Shelly. Use it. Don't hold yourself back.
It's gratuitous. Gratuitous.
Are we supposed to comment
on other
people?
There was a time in your life, John, when gratuitous was all that you want.
No. It was always intentional, tactical. It was never gratuitous.
Yes, but you wanted it to be gratuitous. You wanted to create the effect of being gratuitous.
So, Peggy, I know what you're saying. What else is on your list?
So mine seems to be a little bit different. You guys are talking about things like glasses. Mine have a lot to do with people.
I had drivers.
L'enfer, c'est les autres.
Yeah. And I will say, Shelly, I have been in the car many, many times with Shelly, and she has a very low tolerance for
most people shouldn't be driving.
And sometimes, correct.
Be careful when you go to Nebraska. Correct. I hear they're worse than the people in Indiana.
Sometimes those drivers are not as bad as I think Shelly thinks they are. Sometimes they're bad. But sometimes, Shelly, woo, I get a little like, hang on. Can I have two seatbelts, please?
People pucker when I'm driving, usually.
So I love Beth's, because I always think I'm such a dishwasher Nazi, and wow, Beth's way worse.
I knew that Peggy and Beth would ultimately get along.
I really don't care how somebody unloads it as long as somebody else unloads it. I hate unloading the dishwasher. I love loading it. I hate unloading it. But wow, that's a new one for me about the order. So I also my mistake today about genes was that was a voice text, and so it was supposed to be genes as in genetic, not genes as in blue jeans. Which brings me to one of my annoyances. It makes me crazy when you do a voice text and you don't proofread it, which is always me, and then somebody doesn't. And not in this circumstance, Beth.
So you irritate yourself, Peggy.
No, when people say you have one word that's wrong in there, and people are like, "Sorry, what do you mean?" And it's like FIR instead of FOR. Like, use your brain. Don't make me explain for my one. Just think about what I'm saying here.
The old context. Yeah.
Yes. That happens all the time. People are question mark. No. It's one misspelled word because it was a voice text. Try to figure it out before you instantly question it. That makes me insane.
Oh, I can't wait.
Jay Rothstein edits his all the time. He does it and then he sends it and then he goes back and edits it. And I'm like, I always think that has got to be such a pain in the butt.
I have to go back and edit.
I do it.
I just
like, just look at it first. Just read it before you send.
No, it's so beautiful because you're driving. So you do blah, 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 and you hit send. You can't read it first.
Oh, so you edit it like an hour later?
Or I edit it when I can if I go back.
Yeah, you can't edit it an hour later. And it's timed.
Well, no, I think it's actually a setting.
Oh, really?
I think that's a setting. I think so, yeah.
So the other thing about that is, like, when people answer the phone to tell you they can't talk, then fucking don't answer the phone.
Right.
I know you can't talk.
100%. 100%.
Yeah, like, whatever. We used to live before.
So in other words, they should just let it go to voicemail.
Yes. Correct. Yes. I get it. Yeah. You can't answer the phone. Don't call. Don't say, hi, sorry, I can't talk. Oh, really? Okay, bye.
I've had my parents, I've called and they said, we can't talk right now. We're watching Blue Bloods. You just picked up the phone and you're going to watch a show, but not talk to your daughter. Okay.
Can I offer a brief rebuttal specifically to the question of your children calling you? Because I actually have children who call me. If I were in the middle of something and my children called me, I would answer the phone and I would say, what's up? You know, because if it's something important, I would then say, okay, let's talk.
So,
but then I would say, hey, if it can wait, I'm actually doing this. Can I call
And they're you? At the age where if they're calling you, anybody younger than millennial, if they're dialing a number, a voice call, it's a big deal.
I guess you're right. Texting. And often. That has changed because when did all this urgency come in that a phone call meant something was wrong.
Well, it doesn't for anybody our age or older. But for
my
anybody
kids
under,
sometimes
under 40,
call me. My kids don't always call me, but you do. That's the first thing that leaps to your mind is if they're calling me, it might be something urgent or important.
So. Yeah, okay.
And Will, is that a toilet paper?
He doesn't call. He just comes and gets it. So that's not really a big issue.
So I haven't even gotten to mine yet because I'm just thinking of these as I'm talking.
Right.
I have to follow up on the toilet paper. How did you know, Jim?
Our episode. We may have to do a second part of this.
Yeah. Jim, how did you know the toilet paper was missing, by the way?
When I went to go get some, I noticed that my supply was depleted.
You memorize your supply of toilet paper?
No, I don't memorize, but I have a sense that I'm not almost out or out because when you do, you have to go buy more, right? I mean, you don't wait until you're out to buy more, right?
So you memorize your supply of toilet paper.
Well, not memorize, but you know, don't you? I mean, is
monitor.
I had three rolls.
Is it irrational to like know if I'm down to my last roll, I need to go buy some?
No, it's uber rational. It's the opposite of irrational. It's super rational.
And that annoys you, apparently?
I just can't keep up with you.
I'll try to summarize. I'll be quicker. So the other thing that bugs me is if you talk to somebody on a regular basis and then so you know what they sound like and then you call them and you get their voicemail. And I understand the difference between your everyday voice and your professional voice, but when it is drastically different voicemail voice, it makes me, "Hi, you've reached Peggy. I'm unavailable to come to the phone right now, so please leave me." No, it's not your real voice. Don't fake it for your voicemail.
Maybe they hired someone to do the voicemail message.
No, you know it's them. That I don't understand. Or like my coworker who will never listen to this. Cancer Research Consortium of West Michigan. This is Sandy. And then somebody says, "Oh, hi, Sandy. It's Peggy." "Oh, hi." No.
So have you expressed this to your coworker, how much this irritates
No.
you?
No. So that fake voice thing from drastic to normal is that's an annoyance of mine. People who end their sentence with "so" when it does not require "so." And I happen to spend a lot of time with a couple people who do that. And so I'm constantly saying, "So what?" And they just stare at me because they don't know what to say because they don't even know they're doing it, which I will admit that I have to be careful because some of these things, I'm sure I do things
you,
that
Peggy,
I...
You never do anything wrong.
Is that a West Michigan like oral
I have
tick?
No idea.
Minnesota kind of thing? I think of it that way.
We went to so-and-so for dinner. So yeah. So what?
I'm waiting.
Yeah. The macaroni and cheese was really good. So, okay. Yeah, no. And then people who end it with "right" also when it's not a question. "We had a really good time and then we went to blah, 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 right?" Yeah, right. I guess. You're telling me you did. There's a lot of things at
That's
the
like
end.
It's like in it
people,
in the UK.
People don't know how to end a sentence without just ending it. You don't need a question at the end of it. I don't know if they're trying to get you to respond. Or it's just
possibly
awkward.
Yes.
Low self-esteem. It's low self-esteem. People who do not speak in simple, clear, declarative sentences lack self-esteem.
And they don't know they're doing it anymore. It's how the word "like" became such a part of our.
Oh, that's annoying.
And I say "like." I hear myself sometimes, and I'm thinking, "Why did I just say "like" in there?" So it happens. I get it. The other one that's recent that's making me nuts, and I feel like it's happened ever since COVID, which I'm not sure, is when you walk into a store and somebody says, "Welcome in." No, just "welcome." Welcome in.
Welcome out. Would you say "welcome out"?
Or just "welcome."
It might be a Midwest thing. I've never experienced.
You're going to start
ending a sentence with a preposition. Okay.
You're gonna.
I hate that.
Which is also now okay. I just read about it in the New York Times. You can now end sentences with prepositions because I had a big argument.
Yeah, I've heard that too. That's so sad to me.
And a guy I know who's a book editor says, "No, it's okay now. You can do that."
Yeah.
But other things.
You realize that all language rules are ultimately arbitrary, John. You know?
And the other one is.
Oh, no. Of course. I just. Yeah. No.
Let Peggy finish.
Lacks clarity.
The other one, it all has to do with speaking. The other one is, "So we kind of went, we're going to kind of figure out what we're going to do next for this kid. This, I hear this at work all the time, these doctors when they talk. And then we kind of took them to surgery and we kind of took out their brain. And I was like, oh, really? Did you kind of take out their tumor? And then we kind of had a little setback with too many kind ofs. Somebody else ends everything. She was tired in nature. So my friend and I have this joke about picturing her in nature being
in nature.
Tired. Out in the woods.
Yeah, she's hiking.
Yes. So it's mostly about speaking. And then,
which is why you don't listen to the podcast, because you would just get annoyed at all the things everybody says. Then, right?
Sometimes I get annoyed that everybody's so, not walking their dog. No. Just let me walk in the neighborhood, and then you can walk your dog later. That was a fake
one.
Oh,
wow.
That's, yeah, I know.
That's a hard
one. Only because my dogs go crazy, so really I should just be annoyed about my dog. But I feel like everybody's out. Everybody's walking their dog. I have to cross the street 18 times on my walk. That one's not
in that way.
True annoyance. But there you go. Mine are mostly about speaking.
But I have the similar connection about other people being the annoying part, because I'll be out hiking with Daisy. Beautiful. We're on a trail. It's lovely. And then somebody comes marching down the trail in the other direction with their phone on speaker having a conversation. I'm like, where Whoa. The hell are your headphones? We're in nature. Why are like you've just disturbed me for the next fucking mile because of your inconsideration. You've ruined my walk in the woods. So
that's so
people
true.
Mostly. Airports. That's on my list.
Airports. Big one.
Yeah.
What are people thinking talking like yeah. this in an airport? Zero. Yeah.
It was Jean-Paul Sartre who said, hell is other people.
I already
and
said
he was
that.
Correct.
Yeah. L'enfer, c'est les autres. He said it in French.
Correct.
Well, he yes, did. But I. So
John.
I don't have a lot. I was just going to respond to the ones you guys had. When Peggy talks, a lot of mine could be about language. I do find it annoying when people. I still find it annoying when people misuse fewer and less. And I know that ship has definitely sailed. I mean, it is the distinction is gone. I bet if I asked 100 people, 5 would get it right. Like if to explain to me the difference. And I find a lot of little things like that annoying. But no, I agree. I think so far Peggy's complaints have been closest to mine, which is just like things that people do orally. They drive me a little bit nuts. Their tics and their.
Do you struggle with lane? Like, does
so
that
I actually
you?
Have trouble
because
with that
I
myself.
I really have trouble with that one.
Yeah, me too. Me too. One. Yeah, me too. But no, for me, it's more about things like and orally, I don't care. It's more in writing, and it's interesting because when I try to write, I think about this and then I look back at what I've written sometime and I'm like, oh God, I sound like Jane Austen because I'm so formalistic in what I'm writing. And I'm like, that's not how I talk. And that's not what I think I'm writing, but I can't, when I, the act of writing for me is so much more formal than the act of speaking that they're like apples and oranges, but they're, and that becomes a problem when you're trying to write in a way that people speak. But no, I don't know. I mean, I have a million little annoyances. I did this activity entirely wrong. I made a list this morning at the coffee shop of things, and there are things like, you know, I put the Chinese Communist Party, but do I hate them so much that I don't want to have cheap Chinese goods in my life? Like that, I did this all wrong.
No, we want to hear your list.
Yeah, there's no wrong.
No, that's my list. It's
the Chinese Communist Party.
Number two, how cynical is Trump to deploy anti-Semitism as the reason to arrest, detain, and deport college students and withhold millions in research dollars. Isn't this ironic? When I was raised, anti-Semitism and the Holocaust were the reasons to be tolerant and speak truth to power and be nice and resist power, and now it's the opposite.
So yours are real and worthwhile.
I was like, what am I annoyed by right now? And I'm like, these are the things that annoy me. I'm like, populism. What's the difference between populism and Marxism's voice for the masses? McKinley Park. It's a neighborhood right next to us. And I hate that McKinley Park is called McKinley Park because it's got a big statue of William McKinley. And that asshole is standing there with a statue holding a little piece of paper. That's the Tariff Act. And ironically, he was known for having, in the first Gilded Age, passing the Tariff Act and kind of getting Rockefeller and those other jerks rich. And I kind of am annoyed by that. I think we should melt down that statue.
I mean, he was pro-tariff, but that didn't make Rockefeller rich. Rockefeller was already rich. And the economic circumstances at the time were much different. So McKinley gets a bad deal. He also was very... He was one of the people who resisted for a long time the U.S. going to war with Spain. He actually, they had to push him into it. He basically pushed by Congress into war. McKinley is not necessarily somebody I would say was a great president, but he gets a bad deal because people don't really understand the history of the time or haven't read it.
Fair enough.
I mean, I'm sure by modern times he had all sorts of things. I'm sure he wasn't, you know, whatever, politically correct by our modern terms and all that. But, I mean, he wasn't really that bad a guy. Roosevelt, Teddy Roosevelt, who has a much better image, was far worse. He was a warmonger. Teddy Roosevelt loved wars.
Sure.
And, I mean, he didn't do anything to change the tariffs. And, you know, he did some good things, but he was, you know, he was basically a bully.
When did the U.S. Get the Philippines and Guam and all that? Was that under
That was all part of the Spanish-American War. No, McKinley was president. But truthfully, McKinley was not enthusiastic. He was very much pushed into that. He was one of the voices trying to abstain on that. I mean, one of the people like Roosevelt were pushing for that. They wanted that. And McKinley was a reluctant warrior.
So, John, Jim, it sounds like one of the things that annoys you is when we don't know our U.S. history.
I'm not annoyed. I'm just trying to be helpful. John, I was going to ask if in your reading, to your point, do you find it that a lot of written material now is poorly copy edited?
Oh, 100%. I know you asked John, but 100%. Go on, John.
Okay. Well, we've talked about this.
Well, nobody reads. I mean, the problem is people don't read. I mean, we are, and if
well,
you don't
we read on
read,
screens, even if we don't read books. But.
Well, there's my husband went to a reading conference in New Orleans, and Peggy, thank you, gave him some wonderful outings in New Orleans while he was there. And at that conference, he learned a lot about how people are reading. They've done a lot of the recent research into how people are reading online. And I guess the way most people read online is the L, like they read a couple lines and then just scan, or I think the Z, or like basically there's all these ways of reading we read online that aren't really reading the way we used to read, where you're going like, you know, kind of thoughtfully going through each line or kind of approach. And I find reading fascinating, partially because I have two young children and I'm thinking about that all the time, because reading is and literacy is not natural to humans, right? It's something that we've imposed on ourselves. And so like how the brain works while one is reading matters to me. But one thing categorically true is people don't read the way they used to read. They just don't. And that goes to type editing for sure. I mean, nobody type edits anymore for period, right? There's no type editing.
I think that allegedly published,
else, right?
Published books are supposed to be copy edited, I think.
Of course they are. Sure.
I find that they're often sloppily copy edited.
Well, I mean, yeah, that's true. And I would argue even from large publishing houses.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about like
self-published.
Somebody self-published or something. Yeah. I mean, that I would give them more of a pass on that. I just think that's, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I can scrutinize something at the macro level of the entire thrust of the argument they're making, or at the sentence level where I can tear them to shreds. So, yeah, both of them are pretty irritating to me. I try to let things go, but I just find myself just dismissing more and more. I just go higher in my ivory tower and condescend more. It's just lovely up here.
How's the oxygen?
So, Jim, what's on your list?
Well, as you can probably guess, nothing really ever bothers me. I'm a very mild-mannered person.
You're zen.
I usually take things as they come.
We don't have enough time for Jim's list.
I do think there's one overriding thing that has been bothering me for many, many months now, and that is that John has not yet published the podcast.
I was going to bring that up.
Oh.
That is really bothering me. And I, if there's a solution, I really would love to hear it because it's driving me crazy.
I know that I'd equate with my frustration that Jim's mic doesn't work. It's like so grating on me every time we get out. I know his mic isn't working.
You say the thing about my mic, and that may be true, but you're always very hypersensitive about the sound quality of things that I can't hear at all. And I think most people can't hear at all. And you get very whatever about that stuff.
I'm right.
Well, I'm just
saying, in terms of things that irritate or bother you, that is definitely on your list of things.
Yes.
As on our text thread earlier this week, when my sister-in-law found out that I do a podcast and went to the YouTube channel and she saw how much work John put into this, she was amazed. She's like, oh my gosh, do you know how much work this is? Well, it's the old YouTube where you like put in clips in between our sound
bites.
That
episode, that was a lot of work. Yeah. That was a lot of work. And that was very unpopular with
this. He doesn't do that every time.
I don't do that anymore at all.
She also then went and read the intros to like the last 5 or 6 episodes we did. And that's when she said, oh, wow, this guy's a great writer. Will he do my artist write-up for my next show? So somebody is recognizing John's talent. And I just want our podcast listeners to know that, too.
That's because John just generally doesn't get enough recognition.
This is the work. Yeah,
right. I do think that I don't listen to the podcast, as Jim mentioned, but I do think that John's write-up is probably the best thing about the
podcast. I 100% agree.
And no, the graphics.
It's not the graphics, best thing about the
whole next time
podcast.
We should just skip recording the episode and just have John do the write-up.
Yes, that's all you need. It pretty much sums it up, and then you don't have to listen to us, our annoying voices and our bad gain.
You guys, I hate to tell you, where people are listening and we're getting more and more feedback. I mean, I don't know what to tell you. And more pointed feedback. So I don't know. Our friends are our friends.
It's like, why is that guy Jim still on the podcast? Why don't you get rid of him?
Jim, people love your rants.
And Jim, now that you've moved to Brooklyn and life apparently is perfect, you have nothing that annoys you?
You know, Beth, I've always been the soul of even-keeled disposition and
the soul of serenity.
I would say that aside from John not publishing the podcast episode, and aside from Adrian Brody's speech at the Academy Awards, and having to sit through Kieran Culkin getting awards because he's terrible, and having to watch Anora get Best Picture because it wasn't very good, you know, and having to, you know, live in a city where the current mayor is probably should be in jail, but isn't because of a corrupt bargain with the president of the United States. And he's probably going to be replaced by
an even more corrupt sexist pig.
Well, yeah. I don't know if he's more corrupt, but he's not certainly not my
mean
choice
person.
To replace
him. Right.
Why is that? He might be a better bear. He might make a better mayor, but his character is certainly something scary. Leaves something to be said.
And how annoyed are you that Othello, that should be a repertoire cast, is now star studded?
No, it doesn't bother me.
Okay.
How annoyed why would are that you bother that me? I don't understand.
Hollywoodization of Broadway.
Well, I mean, there's several ways to look at it. First of all, Denzel Washington, in this particular case, is a terrific actor, and he's done a lot of things on stage. So it's not as though he is. Okay. It's not as though. I'll give you an. I haven't seen this yet, but Kieran Culkin, the aforementioned Kieran Culkin, is playing the Al Pacino role in Glengarry Glen Ross on
stage.
Oh,
dear God.
Now that is annoying. Yeah. Okay. Now, if you said, you know, Colin Firth is playing that role, or, you know, blah, blah, blah. Anyone of Ed Norton, or, you know, there's a lot of fine actors who are known for their film work, but also have, you know, the chops to act on stage. That's, you know, that's one thing. Denzel Washington's a terrific actor. I'd never seen him on stage before, but he's done Shakespeare before on stage. He's done Julius Caesar, and he's done many other plays on stage. So, you know, another way to look at it is Othello get performed on Broadway if you don't have stars in it? You know, how do you get people to come to a Broadway theater to see
it? We went to see Ted and I went in Chicago when we saw To Kill a Mockingbird, the Andrew Sorkin version of Aaron Sorkin version of, which I know Jim loves Aaron Sorkin. We went and saw it, and it was at the Nederlander in Chicago, which is probably the largest theater downtown or second largest. It's very big. And I walked in and I thought, there's no way this many people care about To Kill a Mockingbird. And of course they did. And it was also Sorkin's fame that brought them. And it was I forget the star that was in it, but there was some star that was in it as well. And I didn't like it. It was okay. It's, I don't know, like, meh. But it sold out. And it sold a long run out at a very large. I get the power of celebrity. That's one of my annoyances. It's an irritation. I just hate the power of celebrity. I don't know. I care more about ideas than people, which is probably a problem. I know everybody else is like, oh, the people matter. But I'm like, I actually kind of care about ideas.
You're so much better than the rest of us, John.
It's just how I think about things. I don't know.
Depends on the celebrity. There's certain celebrities you love.
I'm not a big celebrity person. Name a few. I don't know.
Andrew Garfield.
I mean, I like it. He's attractive. Give me a break.
So there you go.
But it's like, I don't know.
Is anybody annoyed that Netflix is making another Pride and Prejudice?
Oh, they are? Lord God almighty.
I totally missed that.
Yeah, okay. It's coming. Olivia Colman and the guy from Slow Horses, the young guy who.
Okay, yeah.
So
there's a new movie coming out, a rom-com, which has a great title. I have no idea if it's any good, called Jane Austen Ruined My Life. I love the title. I don't know if it's any good, but I do love the title.
Well, having said that, I do want to go see her desk for the celebration. I don't care how much ozone I destroy.
Wow. You changed
but there's
tune.
Not a war going on
no,
there.
No, I want to go. I always want to go. I just was like point. Feeling guilty.
John has always been known for his perfect consistency.
Exactly. Yeah, I see. Hobgoblin of small minds, Jim.
So
and John, we've established that you are not a small-minded person.
That name of that rom-com reminds me of a name I just came up with for my neighbor's paint job of their house. I think the paint should be called "I Hate My Neighbors."
Oh boy, that's a fuchsia. What color?
I hate my neighbors.
What color is it?
Oh, it's like worse than chartreuse green. It's like yellow and then teal rims around all the windows and the doors. It's like a clown house.
Is the house a Victorian?
No, I'll send you a picture. It's so
was
ugly.
It a mis- we can put it on the website. Was
no,
it a
he loves it. It's a long story, but it's and at least it's next.
And we should
to
also
me.
Put the name and address of the neighbor as well.
Exactly. A map.
But that's a good name. I hate my neighbors.
There you go.
They're always trying
can
to.
Can I get two cans of I Hate My Neighbors?
Yes.
Yeah, I can see that.
Beth, what about your irritations?
Well, we already went through how you properly unload a dishwasher.
Yeah, started with that.
I thought that was just an intro.
No,
I thought
it was.
That was a model.
So I, back when I used to walk home from work when I lived in D.C., I thought there should be lanes on the sidewalk because there's people like me who are walking for exercise. And when we started getting cell phones and then people are just, so annoying. And again, like my walk is supposed to be like, let me unwind, forget about the annoyances of the job. And I'd end up getting really frustrated and trying to like go around them. So when we got to the light, because I knew how all the lights were timed, like get across the intersection before them. So they were out of my way. So mostly it's people that annoy me.
That's a good one. I feel like that about lanes. And I feel that way at the hospital too.
Yeah.
Like all infirm, slow people, you just move over.
Isn't that where the infirm people are supposed
yeah,
to be at the hospital
but
though?
Don't
Peggy
take out, like, don't stand next to each oh other. So, like three people across oh talking.
Or just we should just talking. Let them yeah. die, you know, because they're at the hospital. Yeah,
right. Or when they get off the escalator or the elevator and they stop.
Stop.
Yes. Like, yeah. keep going.
Gotta move.
Or the airport, you're like going in the main entrance and they stop 2 feet mm-hmm. from the door. And it's like, move. The rest of us are trying to come in. Exactly. The airports, like, I'm so glad I have TSA pre-check because Up in the Air captured that experience so well of, okay, do I get behind the old couple or do I get behind the family with the stroller? Mm-hmm. I'm going to miss my flight now because I, of course, am very efficient about getting to the airport. And
means that Beth doesn't go until the last minute. That's what she means by she's
correct. The pilot's like, oh, Beth is here. We can now push off from the gate. Yeah. It's how exactly. the flight should work. So TSA pre-check has probably saved me from going to jail. The other, I was thinking about driving. As Jim knows, I have lots of thoughts about driving and who I consider to be a good driver.
No one, basically.
Very few. last weekend, I took my nephew out to get some of his driving hours in. He's getting ready to get his license. And my sister had warned me that he narrates the whole time. Like, he has to talk it through. So it was actually really hilarious. Great because he's like sitting there. He makes sure all the mirrors are right. Okay, Aunt Beth, I see this guy in the side street. Okay, so I'm going to make sure he stops. Yeah, okay, he stopped. I can keep going, right? But I was like, okay, he's actually thinking about all this stuff. Like, we might have a younger generation of decent drivers. So I was very pleased about that.
Yep. Are we going to end I don't know with if all the of whole us pod- going through a pleased one? We're all going to say one thing we're pleased by? End on a positive note? Or should we end on one like mega
related
ultra horrible death one?
So after I took Logan out for driving, and we did it like both Saturday and Sunday, day, night, some rain. Like, he got a lot of experience in. My niece, his twin sister, works at a little cake shop in town. He brought me to the cake shop and bought me a piece of cake to thank me. So that was, nice. I was very pleased with that.
So kind.
Very good.
Jim, why did you make a face at that? That's
no, I was just
story.
Trying to think of the last time I was pleased by something. I think it was like around 1994 or something.
Didn't you go to Copper Canyon?
I was just going to say
that makes Copper you happy.
Exactly.
Well, one of my lists was about how as I'm getting older, I feel like people who get older, I read articles about this, how our brains are geared to like just like have things bounce off of us more easily and not be irritated by things as much. That's something I read that somewhere. But it's a little bit true, right? You don't want to get old and then think, oh, everything's
no,
getting
it's
worse
called,
and we're gonna
it's
die.
Called perspective, John. That's what it is.
Whatever it's called. But I do wonder if that's like so I do sometimes wonder if I'm like, when I'm okay with something, if that's like me getting older or if that's because it actually is okay.
You know why? I'll tell you exactly why. Because you have two children now. And if your children are healthy and well, all these other problems seem much less important.
That's probably true. I mean, the one that I keep coming back to is if my children end up having to go to war, like they get drafted to war,
that
pops into my head all the time now.
Yeah,
that pops
into
my
head.
Like, is this heading us down a path where my children are going to get drafted to go to war? I know people say I'm crazy. I do think about that a lot.
I don't know if you're crazy, but that's a whole other podcast episode. But once you have children, it changes your perspective on virtually everything. I think.
Oh, well.
It doesn't necessarily change your opinion about everything, but it changes your perspective about everything.
All right. So as the guide for this episode, I have one more thing that to end on a positive note, because our listeners might just think I hate everyone and stay in my lovely condo in Poughkeepsie and do not interact. I was in D.C. recently and happened to be there on Trans Visibility Day. And there was a rally down on the mall. So my friends and I went, we made signs. I sent you guys pictures of my signs, I think. And then I was coming off the metro in Tacoma Park and there were three young people, you know, like late teens, early 20s, just hanging out, a little day drinking going on. And they said, "What are your signs?" And I was like, oh dear, like, you never know how people are going to react. And so I said, the first side of my sign said, "Mind your own business." And they were like, "Oh, that's great. Can I get my picture taken with you? Blah, blah, blah." And they were African-American, just for context, why I was like not exactly sure how they would feel about trans issues. And so, because there is some stigma in that community. so they're getting their picture taken with me with my mind your own business side. And then one of them says, what's the other side say? So I turn it around and it says, they're worried about the wrong 1%. And it's a quote from Laverne Cox. So this one person starts tearing up, puts her arm around me, points to the sign, and says, thank you. Mm-hmm. And I was just blown away. I was like, you know what? We shouldn't make assumptions. There is good in the world. People do want to be seen. They want to feel supported. And I have to remember that and not just get mad at bad driving and check writers. Like, there's really, like, I was able to, like, go downtown and do this and be there for people who aren't feeling seen or feeling targeted. And then just getting off the metro, having that experience, I was like, okay, this is the reset I needed.
Mm. Nice. That is a great positive note to end on. Really good.
So I don't know who's doing our closing or if there's any
other
thoughts.
I think you should
thoughts.
Do it, Beth, because it is your episode. But if there are any other thoughts first. Peggy, did you want to come up with another group of people that are bothering you before we sign off?
No, I've complained enough.
And Shelley, do you feel after your comments in this episode, you'll still be able to live in the state of Indiana?
Yes, I love where I live. I do. I love the great state of Indiana.
And John, we really need to talk about your mental health questions at some point, but this is not the right time or place.
John, I have a question regarding our travel episode that we did recently about the 52 places. What did you wind up doing in for spring break?
I don't think you should answer the question because she didn't listen to the episode.
I remember.
Oh, really?
It.
What did you do for spring break?
I didn't do anything. We didn't do anything. I worked. Ted took off 2 days. Then my sister took the kids basically for 2 days. And then
and so your kids will think that was the greatest spring break of all time. That they'll love that.
They're surrounded by
wait till they get a little older, my friend.
Yeah, keep their expectations low. Don't start the big trips now. Yeah,
that's
right.
Exactly.
Yes, because you want your children to live with basically a low level of disappointment their entire life. Because to your earlier point, that's good for their self-esteem.
Well, my kids, you're never going to have problems like getting a gift or something for my kids because unlike other people I see running out to buy the latest thing that a kid may want, we just do not. My husband and I do not do that. We do not. So, yeah, there's plenty of space for them to be thrilled.
Yep.
I love it. Thanks for asking, Jim.
Wait, I asked.
Peggy.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Thanks for asking what happened.
It's amazing that John actually edits these episodes because he clearly does not pay attention to what they are going on while they're going on. So his mind is already someplace else.
My ADD is pretty powerful.
Yes.
No. Yes. Yes.
Well, thank you for doing this on a Saturday morning. We are recording this on April 12th. It's snowing here in Poughkeepsie.
Again. Is it really snowing, Beth?
It's snowing, yes.
What?
Wow, it's gorgeous.
I know.
Here.
I know. No, it's snowing here.
That sucks.
So you
I
can find
that
us,
irritating.
You can find us any place you get your podcasts. We have a YouTube channel, which I just discovered. Oh. We also have a website. Again, these are all things I did not know about until my sister-in-law arrived for a visit. So in search of an argument, check us out.
Beth
so
Shannon just to throw is out there, the star.
There's a distinct possibility. I'm going to say this because it'll force me to actually do it because I was going to do it last time and I didn't. I think we're going to be on Substack, both with video and audio starting now. We're going to be
actually,
on
okay.
Just another platform for us.
Are you irritated with Substack?
Yeah, we'll talk about it offline.
You don't like Substack?
Wait,
really?
No,
seriously?
No, I just
why
announced
you like
got
Substack?
It. This is
what
your
you
opportunity. Speak now or forever hold your peace.
No, what it's not for
Peggy's afraid people will start listening to the podcast. That's her
that
biggest
is
fear.
A, okay.
It's
that
the
is
exact
a,
opposite of your fear,
let's
John.
Wrap it
you
up.
Want more people to listen. She wants no one to listen.
Yeah,
she wants fewer, not less people to listen. Fewer people to listen.
I think she wants zero people to listen.
Yeah, like Beth, I've told no one.
Oh, right. Just Charlie.
My husband's like, what are you doing in the office? once a month for an hour.
What do you do? Like, tell them you're talking to a boyfriend or something?
It's my business. None of your business.
Yeah.
You need best signs. Mind your business. Right.
All right. I think we're done. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Goodbye.